Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and today's show we'd like to start off. A week ago, we had the privilege to interview Mr. Bart Kaufman. We were able to learn a lot about Indiana baseball and the man who helped build the stadium that we love to watch baseball in. Talking Hoosier Baseball and IUBase.com are extremely thankful for the support that Mr. Kaufman has shown towards this podcast. Thanks to his generosity, we will be upgrading our audio production quality in the near future. And for that, we say thank you, Mr. Kaufman. So that leads us to what happened this week. Not the best week in Indiana baseball, a three-game series on the road at Minnesota. Game one, Indiana loses to Minnesota 4-1, the one run due to a Matt Lloyd home run. On Saturday, Indiana loses game two, 9-1. Luke Miller drives in the lone run. On Sunday, the bats come alive, especially Matt Gorski and Matt Lloyd. However, the bullpen was unable to hold the lead, gave up three solo home runs in the eighth, and lost the game in the 10th, 7-6. So the Hoosiers, for the first time, have a losing week, bringing their overall record to 31-13 and 9-8 in the Big Ten and 7th in the Big Ten. So even in a tough week, though, we are going to turn to the man, the myth, the legend, and to see where the limo hats go. What do you have, my man Feeney, for this week?
All right. We obviously didn't win a game this weekend, but there are still winners, okay? There are still limo hats to give out. There were still performances that were limo hat worthy, and they're still going to win their limo hats. You can't win every weekend. You can't win every game. But this one, I'm really happy that he had a big weekend, because this really could have been his third limo hat for offensive performance. One got taken away because of a ball on the roof, I believe. One got taken away by a freshman walk-off home run. And again, this could be his third, but instead it's his first. Matt Gorski is going to get the offensive limo hat of the week. The Alex Dickerson namesake award. Then for pitcher of the week, we're going to give it to Timmy Herron. He was able to get the ball to the bullpen with the lead. I understand what happened after that, but Tim pitched well. He, let's see, I got it here. Six innings, just the three runs, four Ks, and he got the ball to the back end of the bullpen, which is what we want anytime a starter takes the mound. So Tim is going to get the Joey Donato pitcher of the week limo hat. And for defensive, I couldn't really find a standout web gems, so to speak. So for just an overall good weekend, solid, consistent play at shortstop, Jeremy Houston's going to get the defensive player of the week limo hat. Consistency is important. Make the plays you're supposed to make. You know, that doesn't always happen in college ball, right? But Jeremy made them all, and we're going to give it to him for the defensive player of the week.
And despite the way we played, there were some good moments there. And I think Jeremy Houston is a great pick, Chris, because he's bounced back and has really played some solid, and the key word that you mentioned, consistent play at shortstop, deserving of a limo hat.
So that'll be all three for what are we in now? Week 11. We have Matt Gorski for offensive, Tim Herron for pitching, and Jeremy Houston for the defensive for week 11.
And this week, we are going to have the same information. We're going to try to organize it just a little bit differently. When you lose 7 of your last 9 games and are 5-7 in the last 3 weeks. A lot of people might have some concerns about this Indiana baseball team and the rut that they're currently in. We're going to discuss some of those concerns at this moment. We're going to start out with Carl. The last 3 weeks have not been friendly necessarily to Indiana baseball. What is your concern at this moment?
Well, looking at things as far as the whole postseason process goes, things had been a little rough over the last few weeks. And then coming into this last week, it was if you're going to get to a position at which a team might be able to host, these two teams were going to basically battle it out. The losing the first two games in the series pretty much took hosting off the table. And if there was even a shred of doubt, the loss on Sunday made that go away. And the biggest thing for Indiana right now within that resume towards hosting is just that there are no marquee series wins and there are no marquee series coming up. Although, you know, Nebraska and Maryland are solid programs, this is not either of their year. So there's no good opportunities left to get a series win to make the resume better for the purposes of hosting. As far as the rest of it goes, that's a different story, and we'll get into that in a different roundtable.
And you know, it's a good baseball club problem to have that we're concerned about the resume for hosting. In the Big Ten, the secret is get to the tournament. And yes, we'd like to host, and it's fun to be in Bloomington. But it's not so bad being on the road either, as we found out in past years. But that has been a concern. We had some high expectations as far as hosting, and those seem to be gone at this point. But do you think that the RPI is in good shape and the record is in good shape for a seed? I mean, just a 2 or a 3 seed?
Right now, it's a solid for a 2 seed. Now, you know, there's still the big question mark. There's still eight games left. You know, you can't be looking at a slide like we've seen. However, when I say what we've seen, that has always been against against higher level competition. And outside of the midweeks, which overall have not been a problem, you know, there's very good reason to expect that the next 8 games can go pretty well, and they don't have to go great. They just can't go bad.
Yeah. And I think we're in a comfortable situation. And again, we're going to address the positives that we see here down the road. Josh, the start to weekend series has been a little bit tough. And I think you are going to talk a little bit about Friday nights. So what do you have?
Yeah, my concern at this point is just all season long, it seems like we've really struggled against Friday night guys, which, you know, most teams do that at this level. They're Friday night guys for a reason, but we just really struggle to hit that level of pitching. Starting from the beginning of the season, we lost Oklahoma on the opener with their big guy and only scored 3 runs. We lost to Pacific, scoring 1 run. No, Northern Illinois pitched us backwards, and we only scored 4 runs off of their ace. And then we did win the Butler game, scoring 6 runs. We got some runs off of that guy, but also we scored 10 and 13 the next 2 games, so it was below, you know, how we hit those other guys. Lost to Purdue with only 2 runs. We did win Ohio State due to Stever's shutout, a dominant pitching performance on our end, but then the last 2 weekends, we lose to Illinois and Minnesota, scoring 3 total runs between those 2 games. So just the ability to hit those frontline starters. We don't seem to struggle as much in the other start to the weekend, but that's something that is a concern. And opening games to series this year were 7-5, which is a .583 win percentage. And then versus everybody else, we're at a .703 win percentage. So.
You know,
just the Friday night guys.
Friday nights are tough nights, you know, when everyone throws their ace. But what do you think from a fan standpoint might be the reason why a potent offense with some preseason All-Americans might be struggling on a Friday night?
I don't know. Just getting warmed up, getting into the flow of things. I don't really have an answer to that. Sorry.
No, that's right. I am not a tactician. I wonder about approach at sometimes. I have seen Illinois and Minnesota, two offenses that are pretty good, and a lot of balls are going back up the middle or to the other way. You just wonder, is the pitching that tough that we can't do those things and the other team has just pitched better, which happens, or if is there something that needs to be adjusted? Chris, a rough 3 weeks here as far as our preseason expectations. What's your concern at this time with Indiana baseball?
Well, I mean, it is disappointing. You know what I'm saying? We had expectations that were a little bit higher, a lot higher. But again, only 16 teams host out of like 390. So, you know, but like you said, this is a problem that we have now because we actually had those expectations because we had a solid team, especially with the bats that were coming back. And I really feel like that's where I'm a little confused, just because with those bats coming back, I thought we would score a lot more runs. We've had to really beat up on some bad bullpens to win those early games that we did. And when the competition is now stepped up and the pitching has gotten better and the bullpens have gotten better, those comebacks haven't happened. I really feel like Sunday was a real, I don't know how they say, like an example of the season. Like they started throwing those guys in the beginning of the game, which was their like bullpen mix for Sunday starters. And we were hitting and we had a lead. But then the minute that lead disappeared, they brought in their big stud pitcher. I don't know if we got another hit. You know what I mean? Because then the elite pitching was back. And when the elite pitching was there Friday and Saturday, we didn't do very well. I just feel like we need more competitive at-bats. I don't know if it's the approach. I'm not a hitting coach. What do I know? I know how to yell and cheer and stuff. You know, it's just, it feels like, I don't know. We looked at the total bases last week in the series preview, and we have so many more total bases than that team, right? But we had 40 less runs. And when you look at other teams that score a lot of runs, they don't come close to the total bases we have. So I think the bats are pressing a little bit with runners on. Mr. Lloyd, he had put out a tweet, I think it was Sunday during the game, that he really wanted more than four or five players to have 11 home runs this year total. And I wrote back, I hope they're all three-run homers, because I feel like those aren't the ones we're getting. We don't get big hits with guys on base for whatever reason. And is it disappointing? Yeah. Is it disappointing? You know, seeing Bloomington at the top of those regionals for those few weeks was, I was pumped up. I'm not kidding. You know what I mean? It's good to hope. It's good to want really good things for your team. And obviously the competition has gotten better. The wins haven't been there. We have eight more games left and, you know, let's hope the bats don't press as much. The pitching's been there. I think we're like the top ERA in the college, and whatever with the back end of the bullpen Sunday, it's going to happen. I was surprised. I'll be honest. I thought that game was a wrap. I will take a little bit of the blame. I was playing Velcro baseball with my daughter in the park when we had the lead. We stopped playing Velcro baseball for whatever reason, and the lead disappeared. So maybe I should have just stuck with what was working.
And, you know, Chris, I saw what you were going to say, and I found this from Theo Epstein, whose ball club has lost several in a row to Josh's favorite team. So, but he said this, and I think it applies to what your point. And, you know, he says, normally you get a couple guys struggling, a couple guys hot, and the rest of the guys in between going one direction or another. Right now, the Cubs, we've got almost everybody struggling, and when that happens – and the way it happened to us, a lot of soft contact and not walking and not getting on base, it can be painful to watch. Look, I think every reasonable look at it, you remind yourself these guys are going to come out of it. Rizzo is going to be Rizzo. Contreras is going to be Contreras and so on. We're due for some positive regression at some point. These guys are grinding away, trying to get there, and it's natural that you press, especially when everyone else is struggling around you. There's a lot of pressing. That's what you see with our at-bats right now, but we'll come of it. And fellas – and listeners, you heard it from Chris Feeney. He's a lot cheaper to deal with than Theo Epstein. but Feeney is absolutely correct there with the idea that in the last 3 weeks, we just started pressing a little bit. And I think, again, not being hitting coaches, the you know, approach or whatever, it's just been struggling. So it happens. It happens quite a bit.
The spark plug has gone a little bit as well. As big and high as I was on Superman, a lot of it seems to relate a little bit to Kalita's struggles at the plate. He really sparked this team. You know what I'm saying? If you look at when his performance went down a bit, which it was going to, there's nobody was going to stay that hot. But he really, I think he really covered for some of the mistakes or some of the pressing that was going on in other parts of the lineup. Him and Gorski were really you know, covering for some of that. And now Kalita has hit his cold stretch, which everybody does. And I think that the other parts of the lineup have really really stand out a little bit more. I think Ryan Fineman's getting a little bit of tired. He might need a little bit of a break. But there's still, I mean, come on. We got 31-12 or whatever we are. So things could be absolutely worse. I expect hopefully we can stop pressing and start get some of those runners that we've been getting on and get them home and let's go road tripping, man. I'll road trip for the playoffs. Let's do it.
I hear you. Cass, your concern at this time with where we've been here the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, so the thing that's stood out to me the last few weeks have been the balls that we've hit. In addition to the strikeouts, that's always my big thing. But for the season as a whole, the team is 31% of the plate appearances have been ground balls of some kind. 70% of those have been, and 51% of plate appearances were either ground balls or strikeouts. So not particularly productive usually. You'll get guys like Gorski, who is a wizard at those infield ground ball singles. But for the most part, those are going to be outs. During the best streak of play, which would have been from the second game against that team by the Wabash River through the first Ohio State game, 29% of plate appearances were ground balls, so a little lower than normal. But the big jump, 60% of those ground balls were out. So that's 10 percentage points. That's a big drop. And 45% of plate appearances were either ground balls or strikeouts. So that's a 6% drop. So, yeah, we weren't hitting that many fewer ground balls, but they were more likely to be hits or positive in some errors, things like that.
That's that weak contact that Coach Lemonis or that Chris was talking about and Theo Epstein was talking about. And then it also I think Coach Lemonis was talking about competitive at-bats as well as Feeney mentioning that. And that could be a stat that shows that.
Yeah. Well, and since the second Ohio State game, so during easily our worst stretch of play, it jumps up to 38% of plate appearances have been ground balls. So that's up 7% from the season average. 75% of those ground balls were outs. So that's also up another 5%. And 59% of plate appearances were either ground balls or strikeouts. So even during the best run of play, over half of these ground balls are outs. They're also less likely to be extra base hits. That's what we were really lacking for the most part this past weekend. We were getting, other than both Matts had a couple of really hard hits, and I think Justin Walker had one too. For the most part, it's been really weak contact. So when an opponent has a game where 64% of their hits go for extra bases Saturday against Minnesota, hitting ground balls just ain't going to cut it. By comparison, on the season, fly balls and liners account for 30% of plate appearances and are out just 48% of the time, and that includes sac flies. So if we can get it up into the air in some way, that could help a lot over the next couple of weeks.
And again, excellent information from the stat guru. And, you know, I will just quickly add that it seems like we hit our rut right when we were playing our toughest opponents, and our toughest opponents played better. Ohio State's big guy had two key hits and one run losses. And then Minnesota was just freakishly good, hitting balls 2 inches above the dirt out of the park and everything. So, yeah, there's some concern because we haven't been winning. But as I'm reminded often in baseball.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Howdy, Jimmy.
So baseball is that kind of sport, and you can't cry about what happened. You got to lace them up and get ready for a big game tomorrow. And so let's look at why this team is still a good baseball team. And I'll ask each one of the panelists here, what baseball stats, what ideas, what concepts, what themes you think are going to make or show that this team is still a good baseball team despite the last week. We'll go back to Cass to start out, and you've mentioned how well Matt Gorski has played. Share with us some information there about Matt.
Yeah, so out of qualifying guys, he leads the team in batting average at 79. Yeah, 379 right now. But he is the only player with regular plate appearances whose stats have not gone down over the past month. To a T, every single other regular player, their stats have gone down. Gorski's have gone up. His batting average is up 31 points from 348 to 379. He hit 413 for the month of April. And so far, very, very, very early in May, he's hitting 556. His batting average with one runners in scoring position, which is significantly smaller sample size, is up 71 points in the past month. He's productive. His productive rate has gone up 2.6 percentage points. So he's productive in 49.5% of plate appearances, which is kind of nuts. He's cut his strikeout rate almost in half in the past month, from almost 14% to just over 7%. That's what he's been the past month, is that 7%. His walk rate is up over the last month at 9.3% of plate appearances. He's hitting the ball harder. 38% of his hits are going for extra bases, which is phenomenal. He's had a better approach with two strikes. His batting average with, again, really small sample size, but his batting average with two strikes has gone up, gone from 264 to 435. He's seeing almost exactly the same number of pitches per plate appearance. He is Mr. Consistent for this team right now. And if he can keep this going and other guys can get the bat going again, I mean, Gorski has been fantastic.
Yes, and he has been the most consistent player, and he really gets some good things. We saw him moved up to the three hole, which we had some discussions about might happen because of those kinds of statistics. And Matt Gorski is a reason why this team is going to win some games down the stretch. Carl, why is Indiana still a good baseball team despite the downturn for the last 3 weeks?
Well, I have three letters, which I say a lot, which are R, P, and I. It's still very strong for an at-large bid. And a big piece of that is, yeah, last week was rough. But if you go back over the course of the season, there are no bad series losses. This team has had plenty of opportunities to lose a chunk of games to bad teams, and they've never developed. This team has come through and beat all the bad teams. And yeah, you can say, well, of course you can beat bad teams. But you look back in the recent history, the last few years, there have been some rather ugly series losses. And if you look at the rest of the NCAA, there are bad losses all over the place. And there's a reason that Indiana is still 24th in the country in RPI. And that's because when, like, we've used the term in here that Chris coined in particular about this, which is business trips. You know, when they've been on business trips, they've been taking care of business. The teams they should beat, they do beat. They might lose one game to Pacific, but they come back and they win the series. Those kind of things were happening all year. And because of that, this team is still ahead of where it was last year. If we were at the same spot last year, we weren't talking about being comfortably a two seed. It was, can we squeak in as a three seed? So that is a step higher than what the team was looking at last year. Plus, going into both the Big Ten tournament and an NCAA regional, you look at the depth in pitching and particularly starting pitching, and you're feeling more confident about the ability to win and go deep in those situations. So with all of those things, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, we wanted to host. That's no longer on the table, but you push that off to the side, and hey, the team is still in a really good position.
And as you look at college baseball, LSU people aren't very happy with their RPI and standing for the tournament. And I heard Vanderbilt, the Whistler, has got a little bit of a chapped lips, I think, down there in Nashville. They're not very happy with a very good baseball coach. So 31-13, where we're at in the RPI, we are still a good baseball team. And Chris, add to that, what are your thoughts on why we are still a great baseball team, good baseball team?
I mean, again, we're a good baseball team. We thought we were like an elite baseball team. Okay. We thought we were one of those 16 that we're going to host. That's just what we're talking about. We're going from one of those teams to a good team. You know, I think it was the timing of everything. Call brings up that, you know, we fought back and battled back and made sure we didn't lose that Friday night on to Northwestern. We didn't lose that Sunday to Pacific. All those are true, but the way you stack these losses up and when they happened, it feels like a spiral. I remember I wrote something for the website where, like, if you take 4 1-run losses and spread them out, it's not that big of a deal. But you add them together, you have a losing streak. I feel like if we would spread this 7 out of 9 out throughout the season, I wouldn't be as concerned. But to have them all happen when the competition got much better, of course I'm concerned. Let's just put it this way. I thought when the competition rose, it wasn't going to affect the winning, but it definitely has. And is it because we're pressing a little bit? I think so. But again, there's no way to really know. What I do like is I was talking to somebody last night about this. I like that there's no more school for them. They come back off what had to be a not so happy flight back from Minnesota. But you know what? You get to clear the mechanism. Everything changes now. There's no classes. The routine, baseball is a big routine game. We all know that. But that whole routine is gone now. Everything is different. It's all about baseball. It's all about meetings. It's all about video work. It's all about the weight room, you know. And maybe that's what they needed, a little bit of a shock at the system. And I'm going to count on that. I'm really going to count on that. Playing a big rival tomorrow night certainly doesn't hurt any. You know, I'm glad we don't have Directional Illinois coming in tomorrow, because it might be a little harder to get up for that game. If you can't get up for Kentucky, like, why do you wear the uniform? You know what I'm saying? No matter how you've been playing lately. And a big thing, and Carl mentioned it just now, and I really hadn't thought about this until he said it. The coaches didn't think we were a 2-seed. If you remember some interviews after the selection show with Coach Lemonis, he was nervous to get in the tournament. And we were a 2-seed. So it was like, you know, we were way in the tournament. So, yeah, your expectations affect how you feel. And that, of course, is – you know, we see the spiral. We saw the top 10 ranking. It's a good baseball team. We know that. Is it an elite team? No, we've proven we're not. Okay. Because when the competition got good, we haven't won as much. But with these 8 last games, I think I've been telling people online 4-4 will get it done. I don't want to go 4-4. You know what I'm saying? I want to breeze through these. I want to win 6-7 of them. But you know what? Whatever it takes on that day, that Monday, to be told we're in the tournament, I'll take that too, because that's really the goal of the whole thing is, yeah, we wanted bleachers. That was a goal. Yeah, we wanted the Big Ten title. Yeah, that was a goal. But the real goal is to get in the tournament and you know, we got to play well these last 8. We have to get out of this little funk and make it happen. And Kentucky, Louisville, come on, you're going to get up for those games. I got news for you. These Big Ten wins, we need 2 to get into that tournament. So these are all big games. We got 8 big ones left. It should not take much to get up for them. And with the new system, with the new routine, I'm going to count on that to kind of shake up the system a little bit.
And, you know, if you had to pick a time, I think I look back on all of the seasons that we've made the NCAA tournament and we've been swept or had a 0-2-1 season or had a stretch of 2 weeks. This week we've had a stretch of 3 weeks, but we really won a weekend series in the middle of that. So this is not abnormal for Indiana baseball, a good program in the Big Ten. And then I thought, Chris, you made me think about, would you rather have the losing streak now or be solid all the way through and have 8 or 9 losses and then have a bad run in 2 games in an NCAA regional and it's done? We have to think that our best baseball is going to be ahead of us. And boy, wouldn't that be nice in the Big Ten tournament? Wouldn't that be nice in an NCAA regional? And I think that we have the talent. And if it all clicks in at one time, which it hasn't all year, and most teams have that stretch, we're going to be someone that's a team that does not want to be seen by whoever hosts. And one of the reasons is because of Josh's comment coming up, which I think is the number one reason why we will be in games when the offense starts really doing well. Josh, talk about the pitching.
Yeah, the pitching is definitely, I think, our strongest suit right now. Like, Minnesota could really hit, like you said, Brian. They were golfing balls out that hit three or four home runs this weekend that weren't really strikes. And so those guys can hit. But coming into the series, we still had the best team ERA in the country, which just blows my mind after what seems like it's been a rough stretch. But coming in, I didn't check today, but coming into this series, we still had the best ERA in the country at 2.69. So a sub 3 ERA is definitely going to be a strength. And then also, you know, BJ and Matt had gone 38 innings, I think, without giving up a run all year, and they both got dinged. So, you know, that wasn't expected, like Chris talked about earlier, but it's definitely a team strength. And if you can pitch, you can win games regardless how the offense is going. So I'm definitely going to look to that as a positive.
Absolutely. When you see the bullpen in the eighth inning give up some hits like that, you get frustrated. And then you go look at the stats today, and both Matt Lloyd and BJ Sable are under one on the year. That's why we're a good baseball team. Kruger is a good relief pitcher. And that happens. It happens, you know, in the majors, as we mentioned. You'll have a closer come in and leave a ball up in the zone and miss, and someone hits his mistake out of the park. So I do think our pitching is really good, and sometimes that's not when the hitting starts coming along, it gives a little more room for air for the pitchers. They got to be pressing too, because when you're not scoring runs, then every pitch becomes really important. So I think the pitching will carry us for a while, but I think to win consistently in the NCAA against good teams, you got to really score some runs, and I think we are capable on the offensive side and on the defensive side. So we just talked a little bit about some concerns. We talked about some positives. And so now we're going to call this the expectation roundtable. So we're going to ask each a member here when they think it'll turn around. We've already kind of talked about that a little bit. How do you think it turns around? And who individually may key the turnaround? But before that, what people may not know is that all of us here at Talking Hoosier Baseball secretly met Sunday night after the weekend on a ball diamond not to be mentioned. And we kind of had a meeting to discuss kind of what was going on currently. And there was, I think, an NSA recording that was discovered. And here it is.
Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of
Well, camel sticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern. Okay, let's get to it. Here we go.
Well.
So that was our initial meeting somewhere in the Midwest after yesterday's ball game. And now we had an evening to think about some real thoughts about what's going on. We're going to start off with Carl. How does this turn around? How do you predict we start winning again?
I think this team is going to jump on the guy, on the Friday guy on Nebraska. Nebraska for a couple years has been that team to give us a little bit of pain. And it seems that that Minnesota, starting with the Big Ten tournament last year, has kind of taken over that slot. So I think we now just need to take the pain to Nebraska, go into their place and jump on them early, jump on them in the first, second, third inning, run their Friday guy and take it and build onto that, you know, that confidence level. And I'm feeling really good that, you know, maybe after that Sunday game, that, you know, Logan Khalifa is going to get back, you know, going to get back into this. And then with Matt Gorski only hitting two slots behind him, but I'd like to just see that confidence build by not just doing it, but doing it against a Friday guy.
And Chris, how do you see this? Who's going to turn this around? Who's going to get the big hit? How's it going to happen, do you think?
I mean, to put a name on it is hard. I really think it's going to be more of an attitude. I think it's going to be more of a coaching type thing. I really feel like the coaches have to have these guys have the short-term memory loss. It's baseball. That's part of what this sport is. Forget what happened. Flush these last nine games and start over. And I have faith in the coaching staff that they can obviously get these guys in the right attitude. Hearing Coach during his dugout interview on Sunday, you could see the frustration with the at-bats from Friday and Saturday. They know that guys are pressing. They know what's going on. They know that it's probably weighing on people's minds. And I've seen this team go into series and go in stretches through this. You know, when did they get here? 15, this coaching staff. You know, I remember a series going into Maryland thinking, oh, no shot. And we swept them on the road. And then there was like opportunities where I was like, I don't know about this one. And then we beat them. So I really think that they preach the short-term memory loss. And I really feel like that's going to be a big deal. There's nothing you can do about these nine games. They're over. You know, we could sit here and talk about them and, oh, you know, the expectations are different now. Oh, we can only make the tournament. Like, I'm so happy we would make the tournament. But, you know, the players can't take that out on the field. You know, I'm sure Kalate is pressing, you know, as hot as he was. You know, I'm sure Sowers is wondering, like, when am I going to hit a homer? You know, all these things get in your head. Flush it all. Start over. It's an eight-game stretch against two rivals, really four rivals if you think about it. Like Carl said, I mean, we have history with Nebraska. We certainly have history with Maryland. Let's just take it to these guys. Forget what happened the last nine. Go in there with the mental attitude that you're going to start from now. It's an eight-game season. And honestly, I feel like if we play above 500 in this eight-game season, we're going dancing, as they say. So let's see what happens.
And Cass, how's this going to turn around in your mind?
I think the turnaround really starts with the offense. The pitching has been solid all along. Going off of Josh, I just looked it up, and currently the staff ERA sits at third behind – I just had it up. I think it was Stanford and Stetson at 269. The pitching's there. The pitching's been there. It's going to stay there. The offense is what needs to turn it around. And they started to click the last game of the Minnesota series. Was it perfect? No. But it was significantly better. Had almost twice as many hits in the third game as they did the first two combined. If they can use that to jumpstart the next 2 weeks, this could be a dangerous team. There's no one guy at the plate that will make or break this offense. But what can't happen is having multiple guys or pretty much almost every guy slump at the same time. Minimize this collective slumping and the offense is potent. And piggybacking a bit off of Chris from earlier, this team's about to get a lot closer chemistry-wise with the freshmen traditionally, I'm assuming they're still doing this, traditionally moving out of the dorms and in with the upperclassmen. Not 24/7 together, but pretty darn close. And that really can make a difference on the field too.
I think the underclassmen need to buy the upperclassmen Buffaloes. If they're going to be living at their apartment, I think they got to go pay for some Buffaloes. If you can't get a live rooster, maybe you can get some not live chicken wings and hold a ceremony outside the bar or on home plate or something and get this headed in the right direction. Josh, your thoughts on how this is going to turn around?
Well, I think Cass stole my notes. But like we've all said, I think the key obviously is offense, 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 offense. We can't have all the guys slumping at the same time and just have one or two hitting. And we've got guys that are more than capable. Every single guy in the lineup has proven it at one point this season, even that they can carry the team. So we get a couple of those guys going at the same time, and I think we'll be all right. I look to the upperclassmen hitters to get that done, whether that's Luke Miller or Logan Sowers or Fineman to pick it back up. And at this point, I would even say Kalitha is an upperclassman. He's a junior on paper. And if he can get that thing going up top, you know, it changes the dynamic, especially with some of the moves I think Coach has made to move Gorski up in the lineup. I think he's in a spot where he needs to be right now. So if we can just get one or two guys to do what they've shown us time and time again they can do, you know, we'll get on a roll.
I agree, and I agree with everyone. It's kind of hard to pick out a name and a game, but I'm going to mention two names that I think are really big in this turnaround, and that's Luke Miller getting back to being Luke Miller, getting over his injury and hitting the ball all over the park hard, and that makes other hitters around him solid. And then Paulie Milto. You know, we have not addressed the fact that in this 5-7 run, we haven't had our starting pitcher who has the best ERA of the lot and a guy who has just been a bulldog all year in that Saturday or the second game position. And I think you're going to see Paulie get back in a groove. I think you're going to see Luke Miller get in a groove. And those guys coming back into the lineup are going to be contagious. And we're going to start we're going to win more games than we lose down the stretch. And I think you'll see best baseball at Big Ten time and come NCAA tournament time. And I really do think that's true. But heading into this week, it's a big week. And Chris Feeney has, again, this week's preview. We play Kentucky tomorrow night. Excellent weather forecast. About time for that at the BART. And then on the road again for three at Nebraska. Chris, tell us a little bit about our upcoming opponents.
All right. Kentucky Wildcats, obviously out of the SEC. They're 30-17 and 9-9 on the road. They just lost the series at Tennessee 2-1. Obviously, that's a big rival for them, so they're not going to be very happy coming in. I checked out their midweek games. Their last five midweeks, they're 4-1, and the loss is to Louisville. One of those wins is also to Louisville, though. They play a home-and-home midweek, so they both fell in the last five games. As far as their offense, you have Cole Cottam, maybe, if that's how you pronounce it, 352. He's a first baseman. He's got 50 RBIs. He's got 16 home runs. You know, he really is putting up numbers for them. And then you have the outfielder, Tristan Pompey. He is, you know, he's stealing for them. He's getting on base. He's got the doubles for them. So we really want to look at both of them for offense. Now, obviously, the last two games we played against them did not go well. The last regular season game was a midweek loss at Kentucky. We lost 5-2. And then we obviously ended the season to them in the playoff in the tournament 14-9, and it wasn't as close as 14-9. So we scored a lot of late runs in that one, and that one was over early. So we definitely know these guys. The last time we did play them at the BART, though, we walked them off. Larry Eustace, if I remember right, they did the old five infielder move, and he put one right back up the middle, and the guys ran out and partied on the field. So that was pretty cool. As far as alumni, Ashley Judd could be making the trip to Bloomington because really this is her only opportunity, right? Because Calipari doesn't let the basketball team come. So if Ashley wants to check out Bloomington, this is really it. So I think she might be here. So I'm going to keep an eye out for Ashley Judd in the seats.
She was just at the Kentucky Derby. So it's a real likelihood, right? Just right up the road.
That's so close. I think this is her only shot. You know, next year, you know, they never come 2 years in a row. And since John doesn't let the basketball, you know, come here to lose, I would say that Ashley Judd could be at the BART. Then we head on the road for the Nebraska series. Now, they're 22-23, and they're 6-2 in the Big Ten. And that comes into play at the end of this. They've just won 2 out of 3 against Maryland. And before that, they swept Nevada. So they've actually won 5 out of 6 games. Now, they're going to play a Tuesday midweek. They're going to play a road game against Creighton, but, you know, it's not that far of a road game. But then they'll return back home. So that's going to be 9 out of 10 at home for them as they play us for the 3. Now, to look at some of their stats, Scott Schrider's hitting .387. He's got 18 bombs and 46 RBIs. I feel like I've been watching this guy play my whole life. I don't know if he's a red shirt or something. He's been in school a very long time, I feel like. But maybe he's just the fourth year senior, and he's been very good for a very long time. So I just know his name. He scored 55 runs. He's got 13 doubles, and he's got 140 total bases already. So this guy's a player. He's out of Menashawa, Wisconsin. Then we have their catcher, Jesse Wilkinen. He's out of Cedar Lake, Indiana, actually. He's hitting 363. He's got six bombs and 49 RBIs, and he's real hot lately. He had a four-hit game in the Friday game of the weekend series. So he's really hitting real well right now. So we want to try to cool down those two bats if we can. Let's see. As far as their pitching, they have really high ERAs. They have a team ERA at almost six. It was 5.92, and they've given up 37 home runs. Compared to last week, I think it was like 17 home runs from Minnesota. So just looking at those two differences, the long ball should be there. Now, their Friday guy, Matt Waldron, he's had nine starts. He's 5-3 with a 4.26 ERA, and 10 of those 37 home runs are hits. So this could definitely be a Friday night. I know you guys were touching on that earlier. We want to try to get going early in this series. I definitely see that this could be an opportunity. They've had a lot of issues with pitching. They've had some injuries from what I've been reading. Darren Erstedt's had to really fill back in the starters. They've had a lot of guys starting because of injuries. Even when you look at their stats page, there's like so many guys that have stats through the year because so many people have had to pitch due to the injuries. So it's like it's a down year for Nebraska. But from what I've been reading, Erstad's not in trouble or anything. Everybody knows it's because of the arms that were had difficulty. Now, I mentioned they were 6-10 in the Big Ten. Something to bring up. They're currently 10th in the Big Ten race, and we are 7th in the Big Ten race. So these three wins would be huge for them because it would get us and them closer. And then they would go to Illinois for three more. So there is an absolute opportunity that Nebraska can play themselves into eighth place in the tournaments in Omaha, Nebraska. So they obviously want to do that. So they're going to be fired up for these games. This is not a team playing out the string. I am sure Darren Erstedt wants this team to play in Omaha for the Big Ten tournament. And they're still alive because they're playing us. Because, you know, I think there's three or four teams available for two spots. And believe it or not, we're one of those teams because we're seventh currently. So this is not a team that's just playing out the string. We have to be ready. And Erstadt's a good manager. We've seen it before. He's got onions, as we could say. He definitely pulled some moves off in Bloomington, if I remember. He knows what he's doing, and he doesn't seem to be afraid of going against the book. Kind of like our coach. You know what I'm saying? He goes by. He's got a lot, too, which I like. I don't know if Erstadt's ever going to call a suicide squeeze on back-to-back pitches. But maybe that's just our guy who'll do that. But it should be a good weekend. It's an opportunity to get back on track. If anybody's making the trip, it's an amazing stadium from what I understand. Haymarket Field, I believe it's called. And, you know, it's supposed to be a real nice trip. I know I'm trying to get out there at some point. Just didn't work out this year. But if you're going, you know, enjoy the town. And it's a great college town. And enjoy the stadium. And hopefully enjoy three wins for the Hoosier baseball.
Let's hope that we can take it to a couple of quality opponents. One, Kentucky being really solid. One has been solid in the past and is very hungry. Thanks, Chris, for that. Indiana baseball is more than just a 31-13 record, more than just what has happened in the last 3 weeks. It's about the players, the coaches, the families, a group like us, the fans, and the stadium is fantastic. And you know, there is more to Indiana baseball than just the success on the field. Yes, we want it to be solid and win and those things. But we're going to end the show here with a few segments on some things that really are reasons why we are so passionate about Indiana baseball. We're going to start with a big weekend this past weekend for a lot of people, but especially a few of our baseball players that we follow. Josh, fill us in, please. Got to unmute your mic there, Josh.
My bad. Sorry, Brian.
That's all right.
Yeah, I was second on the script. we just want to, as a team, extend congratulations to the seniors that graduated, even though they weren't there for graduation. They were up on a road trip. We want to thank them for the time that they've given to us, dedicated to the university. We have seven baseball Hoosiers that graduated: Laren Eustace, Brian Hobby, Cade Crisco, Chris Lowe, BJ Sable, Logan Sowers, and I think one of the favorites of the show, Cooper Kinnaman. So just want to thank them for their dedication, and it's been a fun ride. It's been fun to watch them.
It has been an honor to see these people play and work for Indiana University. We're very thankful as fans of what they have done and the kind of people, and graduating is an important thing. Carl, why else is Indiana baseball bigger than just a bad stretch of baseball?
Well, in baseball, nothing is ever certain. Well, maybe except for St. Peter's, who is nursing a 75-game losing streak. But any team other than that can beat any team on any given day. Each game is an event in its own right. You know, every home game, we could see a walk-off. Every at-bat could lead to a great defensive play. You know, some freshman could hit their first home run. Any pitcher could go out there and throw a no-hitter. An opposing pitcher could make a pickoff move that will get Chris to yell balk that you can hear from anywhere in the BART. I would watch this team if they were 13-31 instead of 31-13, because a day at the BART is just a lot of fun. And, you know, watching baseball is every moment is its own event. Even if you take away the big picture, just enjoy what's in the moment. And I love it.
And Cassie, Indiana baseball, better than 31-13, better than 5-7. Why do we love it? Why do you love it? Why should people come out to the BART tomorrow and the last weekend?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was baseball is a crazy sport. Going kind of along with what Carl was just saying. I mean, where else do you see a team that's trailing 1-4 in the bottom of the ninth of a regional battle back to 3-4 before the guy without a homer on the season, the same guy who had committed the error in the top half of that same inning that allowed Valpo to score a pair of runs, hits a walk-off home run into the bullpen? There's a magic to baseball, and this program over the last half decade or so has tapped into it. Every season had bad losses, usually quite a few, but they always seem to find a way to come together each and every year, and I have little doubt that this season will be any different.
Well said. And we do have baseball at the BART. We do have warm weather. And Josh, fill us in a little bit on what's happening at the BART tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, tomorrow we have the Redout, which is our rivalry game against Kentucky. Starts at 6 o'clock, and then, well, tomorrow is May 8th, by the way. We've only got four games left to support these seniors and the guys that are going to be drafted. I think we probably have a chance to have some of those underclassmen go that are eligible. But then we have Maryland coming in the 17th, 18th, and 19th of this month. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's our odd series of the year, bumped up a day. 19th is senior day. So just encourage everyone to get out and support the team against Kentucky tomorrow. And then also wish these guys, thank them for their contributions and wish them off well at the Maryland series.
There you have it. Come out to the BART and wear your red tomorrow. This will do it for Talking Hoosier Baseball. Please find all podcasts under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on iubase.com. Please follow iubase.com on Twitter at iubase17 is their handle. And this podcast, Talking Hoosier Baseball, the handle is at see you at the BART. And visit iubase.com to see other articles and other posts from our team. Go Hoosiers. See you at the BART.